broken iron man courage. Been cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in harvest wood assembly.
Welcome to Harvest Wood Assembly.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I go ahead? That's the problem. Hallelujah. So Pastor started with us last week on Arise and Contend. And that was a prophetic word for this season. That wasn't just a sermon. Hallelujah. That was a what? A prophetic word for what? This season. And I feel led to stay on that, so that the Lord would settle that word in our hearts and we can have all we need to fully embrace what God has for us. So we will stand and read God's word again. Isaiah 61 and 3, 1 to 3, as we read last week. Do we have it in the Amplified? Yes? No? No. Okay, KJV. Isaiah 60, 1 to 3. We stand and we read together. Are we together? Okay, 1, 2, 3, go. Arise and shine. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come unto the light, and the kings to the brightness of their rising. Let's read it again. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. For the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of the rising. When I said we should pause, I actually wanted us to personalize it. So when you see D, put your name there. Okay? When you see D, again, this is what? God's word for us, what? As a church. Mean, who is the church? Okay, so when you see D there, put what? Your name. So I only use the mic so I don't confuse anybody, because I'm going to use my name. Hallelujah. So let's take it. 1, 2, 3, go. Shall be seen upon Kendi, and the Gentiles shall come to Kendi's light, and the king to the brightness of Kendi's rising. Hallelujah. Amen. We can have our seat in God's presence. So we continue on the subject of arise and contend. And today I feel we are going to just settle in on one subject that will allow us fully embrace what God's word has for us. I'm going to read that same reading in Amplified Translation. Since they don't have it on for us, I'll just read it from here. It says in the Amplified, arise, for the desperation and prostration of... Sorry, excuse me. Let me just magnify this a bit. Okay. Okay. Arise from the desperation and the prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Hallelujah. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and dense darkness all peoples. But the Lord shall arise upon you, Jerusalem, and his glory shall be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Hallelujah. The first word we see in that scripture is arise. And I like the way it's said in the Amplified Translation. It tells us where we are arising from. It doesn't just tell us what we are rising to. It tells us what? Where we are rising from. Hallelujah. It says arise from the depression. Arise from the prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Hallelujah. You know, I love English. Don't mind me. I love English. I love words. And when I saw that word prostration, I didn't know what it meant. Interesting. And I went to Google it. In the Amplified, one of the words used aside from depression is what? Prostration. We all know what depression is, right? But I was posing, what is prostration? What does God's, why did the writers or the people that scripted Amplified use that word prostration? And I went and checked. And prostration means the action of lying stretched out on the ground. It means for someone to be down and out. It means, let me give us synonyms. It means to collapse. It means weakness. When you're in a state of weakness. It means exhaustion. I don't know who anybody knows any of these words. As I'm saying these words, is it bringing anything to you? Oh, you know that word, right? Good. That's good. We should give her a round of applause. It means fatigue. It means tiredness. It means emotional exhaustion. It means paralysis. When you are in a state where you are overwhelmed with life, when you are in a position where it seems like all hell is against you and all of the host of hell has come to put you in a fix, and there is no going forward, there is no going backward, there is no turning left, there is no turning right, you are just on a fix. That's paralysis. That's prostration. That's the word of God. That's where we are rising from. I don't know if anybody, I'm not preaching here to come and preach and tell you what to do. No, I'm telling you what you and I are feeling. Because God's word won't have come if we're not here. Somebody last week, you have been struggling for 2 months, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years without a job, and God came for you. That was a prostration. That was, you are, you know, the next thing they call you, and you know, pastor will say, you are afraid to pick your father's call. That's prostration. Dejection. Helplessness. You see, I'm just bringing it home to see that when God said that we are to arise and contend, He knows your situation. He didn't come to say arise and contend because you have it all figured out. He didn't come to say arise and contend because you have all it takes to move on. You see, the person that God is speaking to is you and I. The person who feels like there is no hope. And God is saying there is a land before you. The person who feels like, I've tried, I've been around so many men so long, you know, so many of them have come and gone, and God is saying, no, arise, it's season. It's your time. My word is now. My word is now. My word is now. Hallelujah. Another definition, two more definitions of this prostrate word that I discovered yesterday night. Is the state of being extremely weak or subservient. When you are trapped by the devil. You know what it means to be subservient? You are a slave. You are a slave. Someone is leading you on. Whatever the person wants you to do is what you do. Trapped by the devil. And God is saying, no. No more. No more. I have something in store for you. It's called glory. Hallelujah. It's called glory. It's called glory. It's called glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says it's an extreme physical weakness or emotional weakness. Emotional exhaustion. Emotional what? See, maybe Pastor Umi can come here and explain it better. You know, there's a way ladies know how to explain these emotional things that men don't. I don't know. Emotional what? Does somebody here know what I'm talking about? I hope I'm not just talking to myself. You see, we come to church and we make it seem like these things are not there. But you see, when God brings His word, God doesn't bring His word over our head. God's word is not here. God's word is right there to you. To you. So when he says arise and condemn, he's speaking to you and me. So what are these depressions? We know them. But let me bring us to memory of some of them. Financial hardship. I was discussing with a few friends a week ago. I was just talking about the things going on in society, in the economy. How that you go to the market every time, and I keep track, don't mind me, I work with a budget, and everything keeps increasing. Every week, I'm not saying monthly, weekly. It's a family business. You see, when God said, arise, shine, move to verse 2. Verse 2. Look at the reality of what God was saying we should arise and shine from. Darkness shall cover the earth. You see, we read these things as if they are different. He's speaking from what he's saying here, that this is where you're arising from. Inflation rate is higher than ever before. Food insecurity, like never before. Job insecurity, like never before. The salary that you are earning, 100,000 naira, is less than what of... I mean, literally, you carry 20,000 naira to the market and you can't find what you bought. I'm not saying... You can't find what you bought. And it keeps boggling my mind, like, how are people doing it? How are people doing it? I don't understand. How people, you see, but you see, in spite of this, God's word is alive. In spite of this, the promises of God to us is still for this time. I'm going to give you a few examples to know that these things are not new. It's not new. Depressions that have come to us all. Hard times and hard seasons have come to us all. In my mother's years, the struggle to get married at age 25 years old, and my mother's days. But in these days, 30, you're a good girl. You have done well. It's called depressions. It's called prostrations. You see, these are the winds of the world blowing at us. And it doesn't blow at just people in the world. It blows at us all. These are the darkness that covers the earth. And gross darkness the people. Did he put an exception to the believers? No. That's why he told them to arise and shine. In the midst of the darkness, there is a light upon your inside. The word of God comes and lightens your inside. The word of God comes and opens you up to what God's promises are for you. In spite of what is happening around you. So God's word to you is not... saying that there is not a mark in the air now that says 30 is young to get married as a woman. God's word is saying to you, in spite of it, arise and shine. There's a wave of separation and divorce in the air. Marriages collapsing in months. Months, not weeks. Months, months, not years. Months. I mean, you tune to the radio. Somebody's 6 months old. I mean, randomly, I was coming back from the office that day. And they said, 6 months, start the husband, died. What is this? It's called the darkness of the end times. Sir? 8 days. Kill the husband, save 8 days after. I don't listen to the news. I can't even bear it. I don't know how you guys are doing even on social media. God is helping you. My heart can't carry these things. But these are the gross darkness that we are speaking of. This is the reality of darkness. And many of us who come into marriage or are in marriage and are like, is my marriage going the same way? Arise and shine. Arise and shine. Arise and shine. Arise and shine. We hear of 22-year-old hypertensions or hypertensive people. Is this not darkness? But does God's word have anything less for us than health and wellness? So in spite of this, God is saying what? Arise and shine. So the question now is, how are we going to arise and shine in spite of these contrary winds of destruction? There are two primary words. Jesus came to us in the reality of those words. He said what? I am the wisdom and what? The power of God. A lot of what Pastor dealt with last week that led us into praying throughout the whole second service was understanding that our arising and contention for that which God has given to us in spite of what we are seeing comes by power. Yes, Pastor Oster was preaching to us on Wednesday and he says, why do we need to arise? He said, in every man's land, there are giants. So God has called you to a space in your office, but they are giants. There are giants in the spirit air, in the spirit realm. There are giants in the physical that say you will not arise. There are giants in the physical that says you will not move beyond the air. This is how far you can go. And know what? No further. Those giants have come after our family members. Pastor was in the prophetic yesterday, last week Sunday, leading us in some dangerous prayers. So please, if you are yet to go back to those messages, whether it's the one on the second service prayer meeting, you can go on Mixlr. I don't think they have that one on the church site yet. You can go on Mixlr to go. That one, there was no sermon. That's why it's not on the website. Just go and listen to it on Mixlr. And just be praying. Because, you see, the kingdom of God taketh it by what? Force. It takes violence to apprehend all that God has in store for you. You know, Pastor was preaching last week Sunday. I listened to that message again. He said that, yes, Christ has done it all, but have you got it? Have you got it? You haven't got it yet. So there is a contention to get it. And one of it comes by what? Power. The next bit is what I want to show us today. Wisdom. You see, Pastor is a prophetic teacher. So, you know, he speaks a lot about a lot of things. And sometimes he's like, Stay, just stay here. I will say, Pastor, please teach series. Because he's talking about a lot of things in his messages at the same time. Sometimes in between jokes, he's saying a lot of things that we're not hearing. That's why most times we need to go back to those messages and hear again. There was something he said I took note of. This was the last statement he said before he rounded up the service. And I'm sure time they are lying go into it. That's why I believe the Holy Spirit said, Kenny, come and teach along these lines. He said, between their eyes, I'm quoting him verbatim, and the contend, there will be warfare. Much of it will not be the warfare of guns. It will be the warfare of wisdom. Knowing what you need to do and taking steps towards it. Pastor might not have remembered he said that. But I quoted him verbatim. This was the last thing he said before he started praying. Between their rise and the contend, there will be what? Warfare. Much of it would not be the warfare of guns. It will be the war of wisdom. Knowing what you need to do and what? Taking steps. Taking steps towards it. Let's open to Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 15. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 15. Let's have Zechariah. Let's leave that. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 15. The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not what, not how to what? Go into the city. So there is a city God has prepared for that man. There's a city, a land, a territory, a space, whether it's marriage, whether it's a childbirth, whether it's, what's it called? Whether it's a job, whether it's even a new business. There is something, a city, there is a promise of God. It's called glory. That's what that scripture we read just called it. Glory. It's called glory. Pastor was taking time to define glory for us last week Sunday. He gave us a very interesting example, but let's move past that. But he spoke of glory. And he says, this glory is available to you and me. This glory that we speak of, this city, this promise of God for you and I is available. But you see, a foolish man will weary and exert himself, but yet he wouldn't know what? How? So there's a how. When it comes to every promise, when it comes to every prophecy, when it comes to the fulfillment of this prophetic word for us as a church, in your personal life, as a community, as a church, as a body, there's a how. There's a mandate, there's a how that God will give us mandate. Yes, we pray for it, we contend in the spirit, but there's a how. There's a how that God will give you your husband and your wife. There's a how. There's a how that God will give you that new job. There's a how. You see, you cannot mistake prayer for how all the time. Because prayer is not always how. What pastor teaches us and labors on is for us to come to a place of prayer where we can always hear from God to know how. So why we always pray is that we should stay in God, to stay attuned to Him, so He can always show us what? The how. For some of us, the how will be praying some specific prayers like God led him to pray last week Sunday when he was teaching us that example. That he was stuck in a situation and there was mockery going to come, right? And they had all ganged up against him. And God said, pray this prayer. There's what? A how. That's why the apostles themselves said, teach us what? How to pray. There's a how. So we don't become like the foolish, exerting ourselves and making nothing of it. So God is giving us the other dimension to how we will come into everything. You see, what God has in store for us in this season is called glory. See, glory is not that you are earning 100,000 naira and you start earning 300,000 naira. That's not glory. I just rocked somebody's boat now. That's not glory. That's not glory. That's not what God is speaking of. That's why God wants us to dwell on this a bit longer. So we can get it in our spirit. You see, part of pastor's prayer to us last week Sunday was the limitations of our minds. Hey, I've been praying that prayer. The limitations of my mind, not the limitation in my spirit. My spirit is limitless. The limitations in my mind. The limits of the possibilities I have of God. How much more in these seasons of depression and prostration, where our minds have been conformed. We don't know it, but we have it. It's reality. Pastor was telling us that in this age and time, many people think of buying a new car, brand new car. He said that last week Sunday when we were praying. The limits. Because what God has in store for us is what? It's glory. Overshadowing glory. Above and beyond what we can imagine or pray of. That's what God has in store for us as a church. I'm saying that somebody is sleeping tonight and is having 100,000 naira in his account and is waking up in the next day and having 100 million naira in his account. That's glory. You see, pastor came here 2 or 3 weeks ago and he said, if God told you that you get married in the next 1 month, how many of you will believe it? Do you know the irony? I was in a car the day before and we were having a discussion with some of us. I won't look at them, so we don't know who they are talking about. And literally, I said the same thing.
And the person said, no, no. I'm not looking at the person, so they can't even know the person. I'm looking at Pastor Omi. It can't be Pastor Omi. She's married. The person said, no. Ah, it's too fast. Literally, the Sunday, this was Saturday. We are coming back from church. I think that was the evangelism week, the weekend. We are coming back from church. We are heading towards the same direction. The Saturday, Sunday, Pastor came to say it. He said, no. Ah. I even said before the end of the year. He said, it's too fast. But God can do a quick work. God can do a quick work. See, the bone of your bone doesn't take time to find. You know it. Okay, she's saying this, I can let those brothers know, right? Jacob Moore. Yeah, them know. Yeah, them know. So what is this wisdom? Just give me, let me give you some keys. I was reading this week and Bishop Oyedepo said something in the book I was reading. So wisdom is simply the ability of God in a man. I'm quoting Bishop Oyedepo, I'm not saying this. Which enables him to know what to do at every point in time. I read that again. Wisdom is simply the ability of God in a man, which enables him to know what to do at every point in time. And I add, simply put, wisdom is knowing what next to do as instructed by the Lord. You see, there is nothing as critical, there is nothing as disheartening to a man's destiny than for you to be in a God season like this and not know what to do. For there to be an open heaven and you don't know what to do. For the voice of God to be over you and you don't know what to do. There is nothing as disheartening as that. So, wisdom is what? Knowing what? What to do. Knowing what his pastor was teaching there along these lines last week, Sunday, and he used the word requirements 2 Sundays ago when he was teaching on your prophecy. When with your prophecy. He was talking about the requirements. What are the requirements? Remember the story of the children of Israel before coming into Jericho? What was the requirement? Imagine if Joshua had not waited on the Lord to get that word. You are going for battle. What's the main thought of line that you will do? Get your sword. Get your armor. Go and what? You watch the epic movies now. Break down their gates. But God said no. That's not the way. Go around the city once every day for 7 days. On the 7th day, go around it 7 times. See how detailed God is. After going around it 7 times, and after the 7th time, blow a trumpet. God didn't tell him what will happen. Read your Bible. God just gave him what? The instruction. God just gave them what? An instruction. Okay. I don't want to take too long. So let me give us 2 examples. Ruth 3. I gave this specifically. Ruth 3, chapter 1. Ruth 3, verse 1 to 5. Ruth 3, 1 to 5. Then once I'm done with 5, go all the way to verse 18. Then Naum, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is Boaz, of our kindred, with whose maiden thou was. So, let me just put it in my own language, my contemporary English. That is contemporary. That's what that means. Somebody should interpret for them now. There are so many ladies in the place. He's telling her that in the place where you are working, who Boaz is the ogre of the place, there are so many maidens there working with you. That's what she said. So there are many options for Boaz. Listen, oh, listen. Listen. Listen to this. Behold, he went yet barely to night in the threshold. King James English. It's very hard sometimes. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. Somebody's instruction, a prophetic word. And it shall be when he lies down that I didn't say go and lie down beside him. Oh. Please, that's not the prophecy. That's not the prophecy. Please scratch that part. That thou shalt make the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. Next verse. And she said unto her, all that thou seest unto me, I will do it. Verse 18. Now, she's not like many of us that will hear what God has said what to do and won't do it. It won't be convenient. I'm speaking to myself too. Don't let us lie. Then said she, sit still, my daughter. This is Naomi speaking to Ruth. Sit still, my daughter, until thou knowest how the matter will fall, until you find out how things will go. And he wouldn't rest unless he resolves this. I say God can do a quick matter. Oh, karabashata lava lava. This is somebody's word. I said God can do a quick matter. Oh. We looked at verse 3, Omopoladugbo, my interpretation of what that verse says. There are so many maidens in the land where Boaz is, but God can do a quick work that will make him not rest until he resolves it. Hallelujah. This is a prophetic word. So you see, there is a drought in the land, a drought of men to marry. Because there are so many maidens, but only one Boaz. And everybody's eye is on Boaz. But when God says, arise and shine. You see, listen to this. Ruth was what? An outsider. Funny story. Jewish people are not even allowed to marry outsiders. So imagine today, Pastor has given us this example. Imagine today, somebody becomes a minister in our village. And he comes to our mother and tells her, "Ne, Kai, this flower in your eye, I've seen it. And I want to do a quick work in righteousness." You see, this is how God works. But the limitations of our mind, the walls and the barriers we have built, are holding God. So you can pray from today to tomorrow. Unless a man's mind is renewed, he won't walk in the reality of God's promise for his life. Let's look at another example. Genesis 26. Genesis 26. I'll read verse 1 to 3. Jump to verse 6, then jump to verse 12 and to 14. And there was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Let me tell you about the famine in the days of Abraham, Genesis 12. You see, the famine in the days of Abraham led Abraham to Egypt. But verses 13, verse 1 and 2 says, Abraham increased and he had what? Plenty gold and silver and cattle and men servants and women servants. So in spite of the famine that led him to Egypt, Canada, for some people, he what? He prospered. See, the famine is eating Canada. He might not eat them financially, or economically? Is it in marriages? Is it in depression? Is it in all? See, this famine we are speaking about is gross darkness upon the earth. Is this at the end times? I skipped to the scripture that told us that this at the end times. There are like five scriptures I can show you to collaborate that scripture to tell you that these are the signs of the end times. It's famine. But listen to what happened in the time of Isaac. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Verse 2. And Jehovah appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Verse 3. Sojourn in this land, and I will bless thee, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all this land, and I will establish the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. Verse 6. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Listen, he followed the instruction. Verse 12. He followed the instruction. Verse 12. And Isaac sowed in that land. Listen, he sowed in famine. What does that mean? Does anything grow in famine? I'm still driving up a point. The limitations of your mind. The limitations of what you think are possibilities with God or not. Does anything grow in famine? See, this is Israel. This is not Nigeria. This setting is a desert region already. So imagine farming in desert. It means the soil is like stone. This guy went with God's word, stayed in that land in spite of the famine, and went ahead and what? Sowed. I'm going to show us very quickly what I call the two types of wisdom. I'll get to that quickly. And Isaac sowed in that land and found in the same year. In the same. You don't understand. In the year there is famine. You know, the Bible says seed time and harvest, right? But God did it in that year. He compressed the seed time and harvest to that 1 year. And you know, you think he should read in 30-fold, in 60-fold. But the guy came and read in what? 100-fold. In famine. In that year. So I'm talking about the depression. And I'm telling you that there is wisdom in spite of the depression that will deliver God's promise for you. And Jehovah blessed him. The next verse. And the man works great in famine. The famine had not stopped. Because when you see that he starts digging wells, you see that the Philistine starts to contend for the wells. Because the famine had not what? Has not ended. Until he became very great. And he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great household. And the Philistines envied him. This is glory. This is glory. This is glory. That comes by divine wisdom. By instructions that come from heaven. Very quickly, because of my time. I was talking to Wumi yesterday. And she said, I just came to this. This thought just randomly came inside my head. I said, funny enough, you know that in the Bible, there is nothing that says we should pray for children to rear them. And guess what? Scriptures are loaded with guides and principles on how to raise children. But I grew up with the reality that how to raise your child is what? To pray for them. I just said, let me drop that bombshell. Let me move on. Two kinds of wisdom. Now, this doesn't say you shouldn't pray for your children. Please, don't quote me wrong. In all things, true. In all things. All things. But that is the key. There is the key. There's always the key for everything. There's always the key. For the finances, there's a key. See, me, I'm starting to search for keys. I don't want to suffer in this life. Because I know God... I don't know how to... See, God, the heavens can be opened over you and you'll be in a drought. I don't want to... I'm not just coming here to share with you a little bit of what I've been sharing with myself. Nothing more. Two kinds of wisdom. The wisdom of the world, of men, and the wisdom of God, broadly speaking. Right? You can see that in 1 Corinthians 2, 6 to 8. Just have it on screen, but I'm not going to read it. But I'm going to show you, broadly speaking, the difference between the two kinds of wisdom. Because one of the words that I hated so much as a young believer, and I noticed that a lot of people used to use it in a way that I used to hate it, that made me hate it. Because when people say use wisdom, 90% of the time when I hear that thing, they mean disobey God. So I hated it. But God has his wisdom. And his wisdom is for you and me. And it's to prosper us. In spite of the situation. And it's to cause us to shine. You see, the reason why God says arise and shine, it's a programmed situation. I didn't have time to read Malachi 4 and verse 2, 1 and 2. The situation of what we are in is programmed. It's programmed because light can only shine in darkness. It's the glory of the end time church. You see, your glory is not when you are working in the office and all of you are earning money. See, your glory is when all of a sudden Fatima, she's in the fashion industry, all of a sudden help me out with one of these names. Ferragamo calls Fatima and says they want to make Fatima the African partner, African liaison. That's glory. You see, like I said, glory is not that you are earning 100,000 naira, you move to 300,000 naira. You see, that's what will cause the heart of men to shake and shiver. And in Zechariah, it says in Zechariah 8 and verse 15, he says, take us to your God, let us know his ways. Because in spite of depressions, there will be outstanding testimonies in our lives. Number one, very quickly, I run through this. The difference between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of God is termed vogue. Was in vogue, right? What's that word pastor uses? That's one word. Eh? What's trendy? Whereas the wisdom of God is termed foolishness. Listen. You want to know you are operating in the wisdom of God, you will look foolish. Listen to this. Read your Bible. It's there. The sign, 1 Corinthians 1, is there. Go and read it. You want to know you are operating in the wisdom of God, you will look what? Foolish. Let's move on. We don't have time. The second difference between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. The wisdom of the world says you depend on yourself. Whereas the wisdom of God says what? Depend on God. Seek ye first the kingdom. Are we seeing it? You see, a lot of things that we call wisdom is what? It's the wisdom of the world. And Pastor was teaching along these lines. There are a lot of... I've told that line too. There are some faults, some teachings that sound very... They use the Bible. But this is not God, though. See, for finances, there are some things that we are doing that is good, but it's not the wisdom of God. You see, there are good things, but there is the thing. There is the thing that will bring the thing, that will bring the kind of breakthrough that you can never imagine. It's not those ones that you are hearing on those radio stations. Okay. Number three difference. The wisdom of the world says the happiness of man is the height of man's pursuit. So everything that the wisdom of God of the world is trying to bring you to is for self-fulfillment, for your happiness. Self-love. Where has the wisdom of God? Says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let me just give us the last two. The wisdom of the world prompts envy, strife, confusion, and every evil work, as written in James 3, verse 14 to 18. Whereas the wisdom of God is peaceable. Finally, the wisdom of the world is manifested in three forms: earthly, sensual, devilish. They are different. Whereas the wisdom of God is from above. And the scripture tells me that he that comes from above is what? I don't have time to tell us on the value to pursue wisdom. My time is spent. But I believe by this word that we have heard, we already see the value to pursue wisdom. He says in Proverbs, wisdom is more precious than gold. Wisdom is more precious than silver. He says, by me, kings rule and princes decree justice. This is wisdom. Inviting you to his banquet hall. See, guys, pursue wisdom. Whatever it takes, pursue wisdom. You see, there are some people that always have hearing ears, like the Bible says, but never come to the knowledge of the truth. Pursue wisdom. This is how God, you see, there's an instruction that will just make change the story. For, see, there's the things that come by God bless me and the favor of God. But glory is not by the favor of God. Yes, God is doing it. But when it comes to glory, there are always instructions to come into glory. There is always a mandate on a wisdom that comes from above to bring you into glory. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the ministry of the Spirit.